You might recognize our next guest, or at least his voice.
I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up next week on Only a Game. Hey, who knows? I'm going to listen to find out, just as I hope you will. But right
for
now,
25 years, Bill Littlefield's thoughtful conversation made Only a Game much more than a sports show on public radio stations across the country. We'd also see him here in the halls of WBUR, ruminating on some social issue or injustice, and occasionally sports. Thoughts that might make their way into commentaries for Morning Edition or various newspapers. Well, now comes Bill's novel, with a narrator who sounds an awful lot like Bill Littlefield, or at least the inside of his head, where he muses about the meaning of life in a small neighborhood in an unnamed Massachusetts town. The street is the stage. We watch the play unfold along with a six-year-old at her bedroom window. It's a quiet street, but the inner lives are thunderous. Worrying about empathy. Should you have it for the mob boss who's come home to die? Should that lady down the street forgive her husband for draining their savings on gambling? Who deserves mercy? The name of the novel is Mercy, and Bill joins us in the studio to talk about it. Great to have you here.
Hey, it's great to be here, Robin. Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
Well, welcome to you. And Mercy, how'd you come up with this?
I didn't know what the title was going to be, and I was working simultaneously on several chapters at once, and I wasn't even sure they were chapters. I thought they might be standalone short stories. And then I began to see a theme, and that was that the characters seemed to need to be forgiven and seemed to need to learn how to forgive themselves.
Yeah.
And mercy was the quality that they sought.
Well, I thought about Cheever at one point because, you know, John Cheever, he's called the Chekhov of the suburbs.
Of the suburbs, right.
And, you know, here you are, it's this quiet, manicured street, except, oh, that one house that for some reason is in disrepair. And, you know, it's the street. Is a part of it, too, and what's really going on, not just behind the doors, but in people's heads. Is this a little bit inside the head of Bill Littlefield?
I think that's a fair assumption, yeah. But again, I'm not sure how many writers can say that that's not the case. All you can really write about is what you have experienced, either firsthand or by reading about it or talking to people who tell you stories or whatever it might be. Anyway, I plead guilty.
As charged. Well, but it's also a reminder we have an outer dialogue. We speak to people. We have an inner. And it's astonishing that they're usually going on at the same time. If you could read one passage of the main narrator, you know, this father, husband in this neighborhood. And this is when he's sitting at the kitchen table having a conversation with his wife. He's thinking about them, and he's thinking about the woman down the street who left her husband because he drained their bank account. And here's what's then going on in your narrative set. Go ahead.
But the point was that those couples hadn't stayed together. We had. Certainly luck plays into it, but more important, I think, is making a choice. Make a choice and stay with it. Recognize it's not going to be like in the movies. Sounds simple, right? What kind of idiot believes a relationship would be like that? But the movies and the ads and the commercials keep coming at you, and holding on to what's real isn't as easy as it should be. Audrey got up from the table and pushed in her chair, and I looked up at her.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, Audrey.
There she
was. You were saying?
I was simply trying to reflect what life feels like to me, that we're quite often having inner dialogues while we're also trying to pay attention to the exit we're about to take off the Mass Pike.
Yeah. Was it also fun to play with characters who are not like you? And I'm thinking of these two low-level mob guys. You know, it's like My Dinner with Andre, only mob guys. I mean, they may be mobsters, but they're also trying to figure stuff out. Like one scene when they've just been to a funeral, pick up there.
Why is it, you think, what people do when somebody dies? They bring a lot of food to the wife and kids, whoever's left. They got the casseroles, the pies, the lasagna. They got the little basket of cookies there. Even the diabetics get the cookies. Why is it everybody gets hungry? You might not want to say it when it happens. Somebody you care about dies and all. You might not feel like you want to grill up a steak, but you're honest with yourself, you're hungry. The appetite don't mourn. Don't even slow down. Machine, it still needs fuel. Heat up one of those casseroles, dig in, anybody's watching or not. You're a philosopher, Francis said. Nah, Gibby said, I just been to a lot of funerals is all.
They're also philosophical in their own way.
Well, they are. And Gibby's central to the whole story because of something that happened to him when he was a teenager. He's lying on a beach in New Jersey, the Jersey Shore. He's hungover. He's sick. And a girl that he doesn't even know comes up and grabs him by the arm and throws him into the ocean. And he goes under the waves, and he comes up, and he realizes his head doesn't hurt anymore, and he feels great. And this is a moment, an image that Gibby carries with him all his life. And at one point, much later on in that life, he wonders to himself if anybody has ever been that kind to him again. And he's pretty sure nobody has.
It was a moment of mercy.
It was. And a friend of mine who's a minister said, no, it was a moment of baptism. And I said, well, I don't know whether that... that was going through my mind, but it is a moment of mercy.
Right. There's a lot of them. And a lot of, you think to yourself as a reader, where did that come from? Why are we there? Well, then, later on, we realize that people are connected that we didn't realize were going to be interconnected. I think about that a lot, how you're walking down the street, and you don't know, maybe a girl just passed you who's the one who pulled you into the water and got rid of a hangover.
And that's exactly what Gibby doesn't know. I mean, many years later, he sees a woman on the street, and he thinks, my gosh, that's her. The problem is that Gibby and Frances have just committed a rather serious felony in the neighborhood, and Frances is saying, what you don't want to do, you don't want to go back there.
To the crime.
It's the scene of the crime there. That's where you guys get caught. But Gibby kind of can't help himself. He has to go and just look one more time. I hope he sees this woman who he thinks might just be the girl who pulled him into the ocean.
Well, okay, so we've got a husband and wife at the kitchen table. We've got mobsters. We've got a mob boss who moved back, a little shades of Whitey Bulger.
Well, as I said, I was writing these things simultaneously. You know, when I couldn't see where to go with one chapter, one chunk of pages, I'd go to a different chunk of pages and see whether I could make that go somewhere. And then I just had this realization somewhere 200, 250 or 60 pages into it that there were connections and that there were ways in which these people could be very obviously connected.
Wait, you didn't know? You didn't have a tree on
a
whiteboard?
No. You know, that's an interesting thing. Some writers do that. William Faulkner had maps of Yoknapatawpha County, you know, where you could see where Flem Snopes lived and you could see where Varner's store was and all the rest of it. I can't do that. I write in order to find out what's going to happen. And then, of course, the act of waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying, hey, wait a minute, I know what that guy's going to say next.
Well, that's, refer back to the Bill Littlefield that used to prowl these halls, ruminating. Bill Littlefield, former host of the sports show Only a Game. We probably should talk about the really deep dive into sports in this, oh, wait, there's really nothing.
No, not really. There's a little boy playing imaginary baseball games at the very beginning. That's about
That's
it.
That's about it. Bill Littlefield. Again, the name of the book is Mercy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.